come, and we cannot express to you how grateful we are for your prayers and your support. We're going into really hard areas of the world, and we can't do what we do without you. And I know probably a lot of missionaries say that, but it is absolutely the truth. We really are grateful for you. Just because everybody else is doing cards, I did one too. If you look in your bulletin, there's a response card. And you, while I'm talking, if you could kind of be filling that out, I would love the chance to meet with you guys one-on-one and stuff. You could look at the response card and how you feel led to fill it out. But I'll tell you at the end what to do with them when you're done. But if you could fill them out while we're talking, that would be awesome. First of all, since I haven't been here, and the last time we were here was 4 years ago, and I think it was during a missions conference, so it was kind of busy. But so I don't think a lot of you know us, and so I wanted to introduce my family. This is my husband, Eric, in the middle. We've been married 18 years. We met on a blind date, and it worked. So, and then these are our boys. Gabe is on the left of Eric, or the right, and he is 7. He should be president. Like, I don't know if you ever watched Kid President, that little boy who's very bold and very fun and very talkative. That's Gabe. He gets in trouble at school all the time for talking. And then Josh is 8, and he would be hiding behind me if he was up here. He's very quiet and shy, but he's so sweet. And the two of them came to us through adoption, obviously. And people assume because we're missionaries that they were adopted from overseas, but they weren't. They're from Orlando. and we couldn't be happier. They truly bless our lives because they're so close in age and so opposite in personality. We do have lots of fighting, but it doesn't matter. We love them to pieces, and I wish they could be here with me, and maybe next time they can come too. Today I want to encourage you. We're talking about the harvest, and the harvest is all around us. And I want to encourage you today with a couple of stories. The first one is my story and how I became a missionary, and I'm an unlikely missionary for sure. And then I'll share a little bit from John about another unlikely missionary, and then I will share what we do with the Jesus film and how you can be a part. So when I was in college, I had 3 roommates, and all 3 of them grew up overseas. Well, 2 of them grew up overseas, and 1 was an exchange student. So they all would talk about Africa and Papua New Guinea, and I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot imagine going overseas. There was a song in the 80s called Please Don't Send Me to Africa, and that was me. I was like, oh, that just, I don't know why, but I just was so tied to here and couldn't imagine what it was like to go to another country. Well, fast forward to the year 2000, Eric and I lived in upstate New York. Any New Yorkers here? Any snowbirds? Yes. and we came for Thanksgiving to visit one of my college roommates who lived here. And we got home and got off the plane, and it was snowing, and it was cold. And Eric said, why do we live here? He's like, we were in shorts yesterday, and today it's cold and it's snowing. And so he said, let's move to Florida. And I was like, okay, so I don't even think we prayed other than, Lord bless us, we're going, and we came. And I started working at the headquarters for Campus Crusade, which is in Orlando, just as a temporary job until I found what I really wanted to do. But I fell in love with the mission of Campus Crusade, and then a year later, Eric joined me working there. And then one day we heard a sermon about the verse that I picked, which is, the harvest is plentiful, the workers few. Pray for workers to go out into the fields. And she challenged us, you know, why don't, please pray for more workers because we need them. And Eric was very introspective for like a couple of weeks. And he came back to me finally and said, you know what, I think we're supposed to do more than administrative staff. I think we're supposed to be missionaries with Campus Crusade. And I thought, what are you talking about? It was a shock to me, but that's how the Lord called us with that verse, and it's been an amazing journey ever since. Just as a side note, a couple years ago, my husband is a very good chef. That's what he's trained in, and he felt called to go back to doing that. So he works at a hospital as the chef manager, and he loves it. He gets to oversee the food. So if you're in Orlando and need to go to the hospital, you know, you can get good food there. So that's my unlikely story of becoming a missionary. Oh, I forgot to share that this was my first trip overseas. And as you can see, God has a sense of humor because it was Kenya, Africa, you know. And this picture is not Photoshopped. We were that close to the giraffes. It was awesome. But the Lord is so good, you know. He calls us to things that are really hard and that we don't want to do. And he just changes our hearts and grows us through it. So anyway, I just love his sense of humor. So this is the next unlikely missionary, and we're studying the book of John in our Bible study, and I was just compelled by this story. I haven't been stopped thinking about her. It's so familiar. It's the woman at the well. Everybody knows this story, but to know the background and to really think about it really helped me to understand how God uses us, even if we don't feel worthy to be used by him. If you want to follow along, it's in John 4. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to kind of tell you about it and paraphrase it, but you're welcome to follow along in your Bible. So this woman, she has three strikes against her for being a missionary. The first one is, and it's a big one, is that she was a Samaritan. And Samaritans were hated by the Jews because what had happened was the Jews got exiled to a different country. And so foreigners came in, and with the few Jews that were left, they would intermarry. And they called this race of people Samaritans, and the Jews felt like they were half-breeds, they were impure, and so they were hated among the Jews. So that's her first strike against her. The second strike is that she is a woman, and as is still true today in some countries, women are seen as less than. They are basically there to serve, they're there to work, they're not there to speak or to have a voice or to be a leader or anything. So that was her second strike. And the third strike is that, as Jesus knew about her, that she had had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. So she's at the well in the heat of the day, which is not when women would go do that because it's too hot. But she went then because she was ashamed, she was stuck, and she didn't have hope, and she just didn't want to face people. So then Jesus had to go from Jerusalem to Galilee. And normally Jews would not go through Samaria, even though it was shorter, but just because they hated Samaritans that much that they would take the long way around and go around. But Jesus chose to go the hard way. He chose to go through that hard place and find her. I believe it was a divine appointment that he found this woman. And he shared himself with her. And at first, you know, he shares her sin with her. And I imagine she was very, very disappointed. Like, oh, man, somebody else who knows what I've done. I can't get away from this. But as they're talking, he shares with her about God and how God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And she's, you know, kind of piqued her interest. And then she says, well, I know when Messiah comes that he's going to tell us all these things. And he looks at her and says, I am he. And if you remember from the Old Testament, whenever God reveals himself, he calls himself I am. And so this woman is so excited because she has met the Messiah that she goes back to the town. She doesn't care that she's a lower class citizen, that she's a Samaritan full of shame. She goes and she shares with everybody. And she says, come, this man told me everything I did. Could he be the Messiah? And I love that. I love that she was so excited she didn't care. She went and shared. She shared her shame. She shared that, you know, he knew what I did, and yet he could be the Messiah. And so everybody comes, and it's awesome because the disciples are kind of like, oh my gosh, all these people are coming. And Jesus says, open your eyes. The field is ready. The field is ready for harvest. And it's just so, so exciting, especially in the times we live in now when things are kind of crazy out there, to know that that is still true today. There is still a huge harvest. There's still people hungry to know the Lord. And God is still calling people like me, like her, like you, who we're not scholars. We're not these, you know, all together, got it all together people. And yet he calls us to come and to share. And the only requirement is that you experience Jesus and then you share your excitement. And so I love that. I love the Lord and how he includes us all. So one way that we do that, as Pastor Dana said, is through the Jesus film. How many people are familiar with the Jesus film? OK, Okay, just a few. Okay, well, I guess I got to come more often because y'all aren't familiar with it. But that's awesome. We'll pass that, I think. There we go. What the Jesus film is, it's a movie that's basically got the book of Luke as its script. And the reason why it was created back in the 70s is because, and it's still true today, there are many cultures in the world where they, number one, don't have a Bible in their language, but even if they did, I'm so sorry, I don't know how to get away from that. Even if they had it, they can't read it. And so to help solve this problem, God inspired the creation of this film. So it was released here in 1979, but the intent of it was not to be a blockbuster movie here. The intent of it is to translate it into other languages so that people can hear the word of God in their own language. And as of today, there's over 1,400 languages that this film is in. And our goal by 2025 is to do all 6,500 languages that there are in the world. So that's pretty exciting. And I have a short clip to show you of a Jesus film showing, because I could tell you what it's like and describe it to you, but it is nowhere near as powerful as getting to see it. So the film I'm going to show you is, there's a people group in southern Ethiopia called the Gamo people, and there was two couples in the United States who decided they had a heart for this people, and they wanted to see them get the film in their language, so they funded it. And then when they went to premiere the language and show it, these two couples went. And so you get to see the people's reaction as they're watching it and seeing the Messiah for their first time. And even these two couples' reaction too. And this will give you a better picture of what Jesus film does.
Well, Ruth and I were asked to be a part of starting the projector for the first showing of this Jesus film. Just to know that there's people here who have never heard of Jesus, and now they're going to get to see him and hear him talk in their own language. That's the amazing part to me.
I
was just awestruck by the number of people that were present. Probably we would guesstimate about 4,500 people came to the premiere, and we were just blown away by the numbers. For these people to see Jesus speak in their own Gamo tongue for the first time, it's got to be a great experience.
Nena ne ammano ipatsi desu.
Tazellais.
Boy, seeing the Jesus film here in this country is just mind-blowing.
They were so focused, they hardly moved. Their eyes were just glued to the screen.
It just takes your breath away to see the emotion that the people feel, but also the emotion that it brings out in my heart to see it for the first time in this environment.
I thought, you know, God is really speaking to them. They're not watching a movie. They're having an experience with Jesus Christ. He's speaking to their hearts, and they're responding.
They were just moved. You could hear them groaning when things would happen.
I could never see it, some of the wailing and the children just sobbing and crying. And it just took my breath away. Just realizing what Jesus, the pain and the suffering that he did for us. It was just a little too much to bear.
see the response was truly unbelievable. To see that they wasted no time initially. Once the first gentleman stepped out, it's as though they all came.
We were excited to see so many come, and most of them young men. What is more of a blessing than seeing people come to the Lord, you know? I cannot think of anything better.
So that's what we do. Since the film has gone out, there's been at least 200 million decisions for Christ as a result of people watching the movie. And probably about 80% of churches that are planted worldwide get their start in the Jesus film, or the Jesus film has something to do with it. It's powerful. There's a place called the 1040 window. You might be familiar with it. It's basically from North Africa, and it goes to Asia. And 86% of the unreached people are there. And that's where we focus most of our work. And people are hungry there. This happens all the time, every day. And it might not even be a big crowd like that. With the influence of ISIS and Islam, it's getting harder to do these film showings. But we have other ways around that, and we'll share with people one-on-one. And God is doing miracles overseas. He's pouring out his spirit like he hasn't before. And especially Muslims are coming to him literally by the thousands every year. You won't hear about this on CNN, and I know CNN and news is terrible to watch right now, but trust me, God is moving, and it's good news. And I would love to share more about that with you. So like I said, with your response card, if you could fill it out, and I would be happy to come back and share with you personally some more stories and how you can be involved, because this is a big job and we can't do it by ourselves. We need funding, we need prayer, we just need a lot of things to be able to do this. I mean, our goal is to reach everybody with the gospel, and we would love to have you help in that. So after you fill it out, if you could kind of start passing it to the middle, and then Pastor Dana will have somebody come up eventually to collect those. The main thrust of our ministry, this was Paul Eshelman was our founding director, and he said, no one should have to learn another language to find out how to spend eternity with God. And I love that, because that's the best news that you're going to hear and the most important decision that you're ever going to make. And what's more important than sharing that with people? So there's about 7 billion people on Earth, and 5 billion of them still live in darkness. There's still 5 billion people that don't know the Lord. So like we've been talking about, you can make a difference. And I hope that through this talk that you've been encouraged to pray and see what can I do? Even if you never go on a missions trip, though, we'd love to have you. We do mission trip all the time. There's 2 of them out right now. You can come join us. You can do other things. You can pray for us. You can give to us. You can, whatever touches your heart, you can give to them. And when you give, it's like you're leveraged into everything that's happening, and you get to be a part. Or just as simple as this woman who experienced Jesus and shared with somebody, you can do that yourself too. There's people in darkness right here in Naples. So I just encourage you to pray and seek the Lord on how he can use you. So I have to sneak in one last family picture. This was Easter a couple years ago, so Josh is actually like up to here now, and he's going to overtake me. But anyway, I cannot thank you enough for being a part of what we do in the Jesus film. And, thank you for helping us to reach the people that don't know him, that have never heard his name. So again, don't forget to fill out your cards and pass them to the middle. And I'm going to be at a table in the back afterwards in the Northex, and I'd love to meet you and shake your hand and give you a hug and get to know you as well. So God bless you as you continue your work in the harvest. Thank you.